In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think most of us have a difficult time understanding how the ruler of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath day. And it's not just for good reason that we feel that way. We can get to that in a minute. But I think part of the reason we feel that way is because we live in a culture and a society that is so foreign from a culture, even the Christian culture within America, is so foreign to this culture of authentic spirituality. A culture that actually believes you must sacrifice if you wish to follow God. A culture that believes that you must inconvenience yourself if you wish to follow God. My daughter was in a parade recently with the cheerleaders from her school in Goddard. They're in the Goddard School District. I think it was the Fall Festival for Goddard. And there were some churches that were out there advertising themselves at the Fall Festival. I won't name the church. I guess they wouldn't be embarrassed by it. I would be. But they wouldn't be. But I still won't name them, because I'm not here to criticize them. I'm here to talk to us today. But it's relevant to what I want to say. And they had a sign: not a morning person? No problem. We got you covered. You can come to one of our afternoon services. You can worship the creator of the universe. This God who you think can do all things, but don't inconvenience yourself. Don't get up early in the morning before you're ready to do it. And I bring this up because we can be influenced, and we are influenced by this culture unless we recognize that it exists and we're trying to fight against it. Again, I'm not here to criticize them. Ultimately, I'm here that we would be aware that we live in this type of culture and society. The first time I really saw anything that was quite different than that is when my wife and I moved to New York when I was assigned to St. Vladimir Seminary, and she worked as a nurse at Mount Sinai Hospital. I served in Brooklyn at the Archdiocese and Cathedral of St. Nicholas, and so we got to interact with a lot of people in New York City. And it was a new experience, being, of course, most likely, I would guess, still the most diverse city in America, if not perhaps in the world. Several hundred languages spoken there every single day. And especially with my wife working at Mount Sinai, where there were a lot of pious and religious Jews who would be served by that medical community. And there was this odd situation when I arrived to visit one Saturday, and that is, there was this elevator that stopped on every single floor all day, up and down, 10 or 12 floors, whatever it was. The Sabbath elevator is what it was called. Because there was this idea among the pious Jews that one would not work anyway unnecessarily on the Sabbath, that one would not create any more electricity, use any more electricity than was needed, and therefore they didn't want to push the buttons on the elevator on the Sabbath. And so they had an elevator that had every button pushed. You hate when you get on one of those in a hotel, right? And you're going to the 12th floor and you got to stop at every floor. Well, that's what this elevator was like. Never mind the fact that in doing so, you're creating more electricity because you're constantly running an elevator that isn't busy on a Saturday, one of the least busy days. And so you're actually creating more electricity. You're causing more work on the power system and so forth. And this is the other side of the coin that I just said, you know, how we can be so lax in our society. We can also be so much into following rules that if we step back and look at it, we say, this is absurdity. What does it have to do with what Jesus said about the Sabbath? First of all, you're violating your own principle of creating more energy in the first place. And secondly, it has absolutely nothing to do with the purpose of the Sabbath, which is so that you would be able to rest from your labors, so that you would be able to go to the synagogue, you would be able to go to the temple when it existed, and you would dedicate that day to God, because otherwise you just go about your life, you get busy with your work, and you forget about it. What does that have to do with an elevator stopping on any floor? Nothing. But again, I bring these up because we can fall in either trap. For us as Orthodox, sometimes it's easier to fall in that trap of following the rules and making sure that we do everything and we never step back and think, am I being absurd? What Jesus teaches us today in the gospel reading that we have and this healing on the Sabbath is that his number one overarching rule, the number one rule, and it can never be absurd, is that you show mercy to others when they need it. There is no rule that exists. There is no law that has been given by God that can ever trump this notion that you would show mercy. You see, this ruler of the synagogue, he thought he was following God's law. I mean, you know, he seems silly to us, right? Because we've learned these lessons from the Gospels. But he's saying to Jesus, hey, I don't have a problem with you healing this woman, but there's 6 other days. Just observe the Sabbath. And Jesus, again, is teaching, why wait? This woman has been 18 years suffering her infirmity. I'm not going to wait another day, another minute, another second. There's someone in front of me who needs to be shown mercy. And that law trumps every other law that God has given us. And when we follow that law, we do what God has intended from the beginning and what we heard of today in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The opposite of what was happening with this ruler of the synagogue. Because if you look and you know, parse the Old Testament and you follow every single rule like the Pharisees were doing, like the lawyers and the rulers of the synagogues were doing, what happens? You end up excluding a lot of people. You end up having people like this woman with this infirmity who probably was not allowed to be considered a full member of her synagogue community because of her illness. You have people who were considered to be ritually impure, perhaps because they ate at a table with the Gentiles. You exclude them. And we hear the work of God that Christ brings us in the beginning of the part of the epistle that we read today, where we hear, Christ is our peace, who has made us both one, speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles, has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And that is the work of us as the church. You know, the Jew and the Gentile, we shouldn't look at this division in Scripture that Christ healed as being the only division he heals. He heals all divisions, all separations that we human beings, all distinctions that we make among ourselves. And it's important for us as the church to follow this mission. I hear every Orthodox Christian that comes through St. Mary, that comes through any church here in America, Orthodox church that I've ever heard to any of our converts and our catechumens, and one of the first things they pick up is this saying, that the church is a hospital. And they're correct. The problem is we don't always act like a hospital. The problem is we don't always live up to being a hospital where we accept the sick. We sometimes make distinctions. We sometimes discriminate. We sometimes don't like other people's sins as much as we like our own sins. We think that ours are a little bit higher up the pecking order. They're not quite as bad. And it's okay for us to be full members of the church and to come to Holy Communion as sinners, but I don't know about them. You see, everyone should be welcomed in the church, no matter what their sins, past or present. It's up to the priests, it's up to the bishops to determine through a spiritual pastoral relationship who may come to communion and who may have to refrain from time to time. But the point is, everyone should be welcome here. We should not make rules and ordinances and so forth that exclude people from feeling welcome. It doesn't mean that we leave them where they are. Because Jesus didn't just leave this woman with the infirmity where she was, he healed her. When he came to the woman who had been caught in adultery, he didn't just say, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Go about your way. You are forgiven. He said, don't do it again. And the same thing with each and every one of us. It's not okay that we sin. It's okay, like, in the sense that we're human beings and that God still accepts us and loves us and wants us to become more like him. But it's not okay that we keep doing it. And it's especially not okay that we keep judging our neighbors. So, brothers and sisters, let us, as we meditate on today's gospel and the work of our Lord, let us understand we don't want to go off to the right or to the left. We don't want to become so lax that we no longer are making any sacrifices, that we think that somehow we can just love God when we want to love him and everything's going to be okay. And on the other hand, not become so caught up in the rules that we have that are meant to help us, that are there to help us, but that we become so obsessed by them that we start to look down upon others, that we start to see ourselves as better. Because ultimately, what Christ wants us to do is to bring peace and reconciliation to one another. And the church should be a hospital where we all recognize in one way or another we're sick. My illness might be different than yours, but we're all sick. We're all here to be healed, and we're all here to help one another be healed. To our God be all glory, honor, and worship, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.